Azeroth, and welcome to episode 123 of The World of Goldcraft. As usual, I'm your host, The Lazy Goldmaker of thelazygoldmaker.com. And welcome back to the show. If you're following along live, then make sure you post your questions in chat, and I'll answer some of them at the end. If you're not, then welcome, and I hope you enjoy this episode. The podcast is, of course, made available by my patrons that, amongst other things, can get access to all episodes 7 days out of time, so if you're interested in that, well, not all episodes, all my guides on my blog and YouTube videos. So if you're interested in that, head on over to patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. All right, so let's start talking about what's going on with the game. So, well, not that much. This week we have Burning Crusade Time Walking, which is not a huge deal for anything. A lot of people are selling carries through Black Temple for Demon Hunters who want the, what's it called? The Warglaive's Appearance, of course. So that's something to make some gold if you care about that. There's also, there was a list on Reddit about the best in slot set for time walking, including like old gems, old enchants, some old expansion crafted items. So those items can be worth to sell this week. Like, craft them if you have the recipes and throw them on the auction house and see what happens. I'm sure you can find the post if you just look for it. Just look for, like, search for best time walking and you'll find it. Some items that stood out was the crafted leather legendaries from Legion, or the sentinels, whatever, the ones that make you super speedy. Apparently they're very good because they have 3 sockets. But yeah, there's a lot of old world enchants and gems that will possibly sell slightly better this week than usual. But yeah, that's a small fry in the grand scheme of things. Other than that, the Love is in the Air event is over, so now is the time to stock up on cheap Swift, what are they called? Swift Lovebirds. And then the price will start trending upwards as there aren't any new ones. And the only ones you can buy are the ones that people kept from the event. All right, so today I'm going to talk about two things. Number one, I'm obviously going to talk about BlizzConline and 9.1 and what we learned. And then I'll be talking about something very interesting that happened. It's related to the blog post that just went out about Monolith Ore. So I talked about that on stream last week about the Monolith Ore market, and I may have inadvertently manipulated the entire region market for Monolith Ore. So that's a little bit of a fun one. But before that, we'll go through BlizzConline. Of course, we got the announcement for 9.1. We already knew last week because they themselves leaked it. We get a new 10-boss raid. We get a new 8-boss mega dungeon. We get flying, which honestly, maybe I should have followed their communication better. I was not expecting flying yet. And obviously, flying has a huge effect on material prices. But there might be other effects that take precedence. Outside of that, there's some new Covenant stuff. There will be new legendaries in some form. They haven't decided how that's going to look. They talked about some other things as well. Soloing island expeditions, we get a new subzone or zone in the Maw called Korthia. So that's sort of the highlights. So I'd say, like, overall, a little bit more than I expected from a 9.1 patch. So I'm a little bit surprised by that. I didn't really expect that much stuff. But it is what it is. We got, a little bit more than expected. So I think that's cool. But yeah, new raid, new dungeon, new covenant stuff. All of the stuff that's going to help people pull them back into the game. And that usually always pulls people back into the game. Like, the biggest thing I did not expect was the new zone. So it'll be very interesting to see to what extent this Korthia thingy is like a full new zone. Is it just a new sub area similar to like Perdition's Hold in the Maw? How do you travel there? What can you find there? Is there anything there that you can trade to other players? That's obviously going to be huge. I don't expect any new materials or major new recipes outside of base legendaries, personally. And obviously Blizzard was very light on the details when it comes to stuff like professions, which is usually something they keep close to the vest for a while longer, sadly. So yeah. Now, new endgame content always pulls back raiders, pulls people back into progression mode, which means they're willing to spend way more money on improving the power of their character. And that's always where the biggest money is in WoW, in my opinion. It's always going to be in consumables, in gear, in stuff that's useful in raiding or high-end M+ or whatever, or even just pushing low-end M+ if that's where you are. Because that's what people care about, or at least the people who have gold care about. And most people are willing to spend their gold on improving their character's performance. So we usually see a spike in demand for all consumables, all materials that are related to consumables and any endgame craft when a new patch comes out. So we can often see herb prices go up and consumable prices go up. But until then, they'll be trending down for a while longer, as I talked about last week, where I talked through the major phases of an expansion. So check that out if you haven't already. So that's sort of what we expect. People coming back into the game, more activity on the auction house, more gold to be made with pretty much everything. Legendaries. They did not say a lot about legendaries. And it didn't seem like they've decided yet how they're going to implement higher rank legendaries. But we know they're coming. Obviously, like if they don't add higher rank legendaries, how will we... it'll feel really bad to run around with a 235 legendary when the rest of your gear is 250 or whatever. You'll be in 9.1. They acknowledged that the cost to unlock the recipes was really high in 9.0. But it doesn't seem like they want to revamp any of the costs. So we'll see if they go with a similar, like, this is going to cost a lot, or if they do something else. We'll see. We'll just have to see. I think, like, my gut feeling is that it'll be cheaper, but will be the same kind of system to unlock. Probably not related to the old ranks. Also something I feel like they may want to avoid forcing people to do 9.0 content, which is typically like play the patches, like the general design principle that WoW has been following lately. Flying is obviously one of the biggest things that's going to have an impact on markets, on prices, on everything. It will lead to generally a significant decrease in material cost for anything that you can farm faster with a flying mount. So that's usually ore and herbs. There are some things that could be interesting here. Like, for instance, I don't know what the best herbing routes are, but I know that Nightshade and Alethium is way more common in the Maw than anywhere else. So maybe people want to farm with flying because it feels more efficient, but then they'll only farm more of the common herbs and not as many Nightshade or not as many Alethium ores. That's only speculation. Most likely, I assume that we won't be unlocking flying right away when the patch launches. I assume it's going to be time-gated 3-4 weeks after the patch, probably using Renown as the time gate. So we'll probably get a higher Renown cap as well. So I expect we'll see a small peak for herbs and stuff, anything that's used for raiding, just after the patch releases or just as the patch releases. And then a trend downwards as people finish progression in the new patch, and then farming efficiency from flying kicks in, and prices will probably go down. Of course, they're going to trend down until that point as well. So it will be interesting. If we get some new materials, which I don't really expect, that could be very interesting to see, like what areas people prioritize. Because what happened, for instance, during patch 8.2 in BFA, when Nashatar opened and you could farm Synanthid, all of the herbalists went to Nashatar to farm Synanthid because that was more profitable. And Anchorweed prices doubled because no one was farming Anchorweed anymore. So that's sort of, we could see something like that happen. It could happen with Nightshade, for instance, if people don't want to farm in the Maw. Maybe we'll get to ride in the Maw. Everyone, I think that was teased as well. Overall, it's going to have a huge effect. But until we know all the details, and even when we know all the details, it's going to be impossible to tell like exactly how prices are going to develop. Predicting the future is really hard. So try to avoid having to predict the future well to make gold. That's what I do, at least. Something else they talked about is the soloing of old content, and they are planning a way for you to queue up and get to do Island Expedition solo. Right now, you need to be a group of three, so you need to wait for someone else to get in the queue, or if you want to do like a mythic island, then you have to queue as a group of three. They didn't really confirm this for 9.1, as far as I could tell. But I haven't read through like absolutely every interview because there's just so much BlizzConline content coming out. But this will obviously bring down prices of Island Expedition gear. And all of the stuff from Island Expeditions, all of that transmog gear, I have had an insane amount of success with that market. It has been so profitable. I have a post coming out on it on Monday, actually. Just flip it. It's a fantastic market. I bought a lot at the end of BFA, so I made like a ton of gold already. Obviously, prices will go down, but how far will it go down? Like, how many people are actually going to farm Island Expeditions? I assume some people will do it for gold, but how many will actually do it? Who knows? Who knows? It'll be interesting to see. I'm sure. This does mean that Island Expedition gear is a lot more risky than it was a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, for some of it, probably. I'm not actually that familiar with all of the items. I just look at prices relative to region market average, and then I just buy and sell. But some of the items are absolutely insanely high priced, like the top hat that Jack the Dipper just mentioned in chat here. The Dusk, what's it called? Duskhaven top hat. I think I have one of those posted for about 500k, which is pretty crazy for a transmog piece. We did not get any meaningful news on crafting professions, crafted goods, materials, anything like that. I did not expect that. I mean, this is sort of a hype event. They're going to focus on like the marquee features. They're not going to go too much into the nitty-gritty details. Because BlizzConline caters to like the full customer base, which includes a lot of everyone from like the high-end raiders, which is actually a small portion of the game, to all of the casuals playing this game and playing it in vastly different ways. Like, you have all of the huge group of people that were really, really mad that we weren't getting more customization options, which is something that doesn't matter at all to me personally. But I understand that many people have a much more RPG identification with their character than what I do, because I actually mostly play the game for the challenge and the the spreadsheets and the gold numbers. I don't expect much in terms of crafting and professions changes. I expect Crafters Mark 3 and new base legendaries, and that's about it. That's what I expect. I could be surprised, obviously. Blizzard always throws in some loops. They might do changes to old recipes. They might do something crazy that will screw over some gold makers that invested wrongly. And they might do something else for some other items. So who knows? So that's about it for the BlizzConline news. So the other thing I wanted to talk about today, I accidentally manipulated the market. Which was funny, because I managed to do that together with Mantheus. He probably was the cat. I was the catalyst, and then his video really made it happen. So a week ago, exactly after I recorded the last episode, I talked about on stream about how Monolite ore is generally available in only very small quantities, and how I was crafting ATV mounts from BFA, and I couldn't find enough monolite ore, and I was on a super high pop realm. So I was like, if I can't find enough monolite ore in a high pop realm, and I can easily reset the market on my realm for like 50k, then this has to be a fantastic market to reset. Jack the Dipper of the Gold Dipper, golddipper.com, I believe, and the Auction House podcast, he was in chat. That day, and he also told Mantheus when he was streaming, and then Mantheus made a video about it, and he was a little bit faster about getting it out than me, and people took notice. And the region price on EU of Monolite ore has increased by more than 50%, And then just today, like, it's the quantity over the reset went down from 900k to 150k. But it's possible that's some kind of like API bug for the Undermined Journal. Because according to the Undermined Journal right now, the region price on EU is 23 gold when it was 10 gold a week ago. So that was interesting. But I know it increased by 50%. And there's a reason why this worked so well. And it's partly that no one is farming, actively farming monolith ore. But ATVs still sell really, really quickly. Like, I can easily move through several thousand monolith a week if I wanted to. But even on my hype up realm, like on any given day, I can maybe find 3,000 ore if I'm lucky at a reasonable price. So obviously you can reset it. And I've done so on most of my realm and most of my realms. And at the region market price of 10 gold and 900,000 ore available, which was how it was earlier in the week, you're looking at 9 million gold to reset the entire EU market for monolith ore. Maybe a little bit more you'll probably have to pay like 15 average. Yeah. And 9 million to reset the market across an entire region, that's not a lot of gold. There are so, and it's only an increment of like 50 to 100,000 per realm. There are so many people who have enough capital to reset monolith ore on their realm. So once the idea is out there and people start looking for it, then it's going to happen. And on many realms, I honestly think that ATVs should be more expensive. They're very cheap for a crafted mount. That's very annoying to craft due to the expulsion requirement. I think that ATV crafting should probably be able to support a price of like 20, 30 gold per monolith ore on most realms, and you'd still sell mounts really quickly at a healthy profit. You'd probably be wanting to sell the mounts in the somewhere between 10 and 20,000 gold. I've been selling them for like 7, and then I stopped selling mine. I just stacked them in the bank now because I want to wait for the price to go up, because I expect it to go up. So that was fun. That was very fun. I'm sure there's like the quantity drop today is actually an artifact in the data. But the price increase is definitely real. But there are still plenty of deals to be made. I've still been finding deals even on several of my realms all throughout the week. So definitely not a dead market. And it's going to be it's a nice little entry level market. So now we're in the questions part of the show. I do have one question from my patrons that I've already written out an answer to. So if any of you are following along live, want your questions answered, now's the time to ask them, or it will be too late. So here's the question. Anyone have any tips for making gold on Hypop servers? I've been trying to put consumables right before usual peak raid times. Prices get reset and then driven to the ground so fast. If I don't cancel scan, it's hard to sell anything. I've been doing 12-hour sell times and just posting small stacks. But if it isn't bought within 5 minutes of posting, it usually gets buried. And yeah, I mean, this is how it is on Hypop realms, particularly in super high competition markets like consumables. Consumables don't have high deposit costs, which means that you don't lose a lot of money by cancel scanning. And they also have very high sale rates. So you want to cancel scan incessantly. So in that market. Now, if you don't want to cancel scan incessantly, like I personally don't want to cancel scan, so I don't really do consumables because I don't like it. Then you want to get into some other markets that are not as good to cancel scan. My personal favorite way is to just have a lot of different items, a lot of different markets. Because even if people cancel scan, then I'll be getting sales in 10% or 5% of my items every time I repost. I'll be getting some sales. And that's more than enough for me. But on most Hypop realms, in most markets actually, it is optimal in terms of getting gold. Probably optimal to cancel scan, even though it's deathly boring. So what I do, some markets that are not as heavily cancel scanned, anything with gear. Why? Because gear, number one, there's generally a lot of different items. there's so many different gear items you can have. Like you can craft the Crafter's Mark II gear, for instance. And for every piece, there will be 5 different stat variants. And that's a lot of different items to cancel scan, and that takes a lot of time. Whereas canceling just one posting of 500 potions, that's very fast to cancel. So it takes a lot more time to cancel, so people don't bother cancel scanning because it's way more time consuming. It's also more expensive because gear has higher deposit costs than consumables in general. So that makes the deal for canceling much worse for those kinds of items. So people do it less, and you can get better sales without cancel scanning as much. So that's very nice. So we got one question here from Jack, as well from chat, which is what do you think of maybe coming back of the Auction House app, but only as far as buying. Yeah, because Blizzard did drop something about potentially bringing back the ability to purchase auctions from your mobile phone, which they did have back in the day. I used it a little bit. For me, I just, without TSM and my full suite of add-ons, it just doesn't feel, it's not as powerful, but it can be very useful for, like, if you're doing just a couple of professions on your realm, then buying, snagging up materials, like just checking it when you have an hour, have 5 minutes at work, just, okay, what's Kalashide now? Oh, there's some cheap ones, I'll buy those. It's definitely something that will help you get increase your profit margins and help you out. And then we got one more question from Epiphathus. How many times a day do you cancel scan, or how often? Most days I don't cancel scan at all. I'll do like 3, 4, 5 cancel scans of rank 2 to 4 base legendaries on Wednesday, and maybe 1 or 2 on Thursday. On my main realm, and that's the only cancel scanning I do throughout the week, and that's because there, once people get their new Soul Ash amounts, then they buy base legendaries, and it's very heavy sale rate, but also heavy competition because I am on a very high pop realm. Outside of that, I don't cancel scan, and I haven't cancel scanned regularly in any market since like Legion or something. I absolutely hate it, which is sort of weird. That's like the one thing I hate doing, or hate wasting time doing as far as gold making goes, but it is what it is. So yeah, guys, that's the end of this week's show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. If you want to read more about gold making, then you can head over to thelazygoldmaker.com. If you want to support the show, then make sure you like and subscribe to the channel on YouTube. Come hang out on twitch.tv/lazygoldmaker when I'm streaming and recording this. Or support me on Patreon at patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. And with that, I wish you all a very profitable week. Goodbye, guys.